Back here on Leaders Portfolio, audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We are proud to have in studio one of the winners of the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards. I'm going to run down the winners again. Business Leader of the Year, 1 through 50 employees, Adam Pattersall, founder and CEO of Increditech. Business Leader of the Year, 51 plus employees, Randy Slager, CEO of Catapult Technology. Rising Business Leader of the Year, Chelsea Nichols. Leadership Business of the Year, 1 through 50 employees, Encore Path, who will be here with us in studio. Leadership Business of the Year, 51 plus employees, High Performance Technology Incorporated. And Leadership Business of the Year, outside DC category, Moorthy Law Firm was a co-winner along with Video Horizons from Pittsburgh. And now in studio with us, the founder and president of Encore Path, Chris Appel. Welcome to Leaders Portfolio, Chris, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. I'm glad to be here.
Were you excited to win an award?
I'm very pleased, and particularly an award for leadership. I've won awards for my product and my company, but leadership is a little bit different. It's very
yeah,
nice.
That's I'm glad. Yeah, glad to hear that. It's one of the things we wanted to do to, you know, kind of set apart from other competitions too. Mm-hmm. Is you know, kind of what are the decisions CEOs and other leaders are making that are leadership-oriented, and we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit today. Now, Encore Path is a Baltimore-based medical device company that develops and sells University of Maryland School of Medicine research technologies, devices, and therapies that are designed to enhance rehabilitation after stroke. So let's talk about, and we've shared that with our listeners before, but let's talk about some of the hard decisions you've made for your company. It was formed what year?
2006.
And so can you point to one kind of hard decision you had to make, or was it brokering the University of Maryland deal?
You know, it's funny, as an entrepreneur, you run into a lot of obstacles and a lot of difficulties, but you tend to forget them. I'm sure I had a really hard time and really hard decisions, but I can't remember them because I'm so focused on the future and where is my company going and where do I need to be leading today that I can't remember what happened in the past.
And talk to me about, you have employees, you have a couple employees now.
We have 17 employees now. We brought our first product to market in the middle of last year, towards the end of last year. It is a device for arm rehabilitation for stroke and brain injury survivors. We are developing a device for leg rehabilitation. We'll be ready shortly. So it's been a lot of work to take a product from inception, prototype, development, and manufacturing, and we're very, very pleased with the reception that we're getting from stroke and brain injury survivors. We have been, we're really changing lives, and that's tremendously exciting.
And you also, as a leader, had to kind of decide how many employees to have before product launch, before you're selling, versus after, and that those were, you had probably had to make decisions.
Those are really
that.
Hard decisions because they're economical decisions and you have a limited amount of dollars and you have to decide where they should be spent. And I've been very, very conservative as far as hiring people. And I really didn't hire very many people until after we had revenue. So I really did all the work of getting those first sales and getting the company up and running. I was uncomfortable spending too much money before I had revenue coming in. And the decision to hire employees is you have to decide as a leader where to best spend your time. So there are things I could be doing now, but I'm not doing them because it doesn't make sense for me to be doing those things.
And you sometimes have to give up things that you like doing.
That's absolutely true.
Do you feel like there's a, I've talked about this with people before, you know, do you give it up when someone can do it 80% as good as you? So at what point, you know, is it 50% as good as you, 97%?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, I try to find people who can do something, I would say, in the 80% range, because it's a decision of where best to spend my time. One of the things that I do is I answer the phone in the office, and my board, for example, has told me that really somebody else could be answering the phone. But I like that. A lot of times it's customers calling, current customers or future potential customers, and I like talking to them. I want to answer the phone.
Yeah, and the you know, another interesting thing too, you made me think of it when you said 80%, is it's also interesting too when you think, you know, someone can do this 80% and then you hire them and they actually can do it 150% because they're like a lot better than you. And I've been surprised with that. I mean, a number of times, you know, it's, you know, somebody's like real good.
That's absolutely true. I feel really blessed with the people that I've hired. Certainly we have been helped with the situation with the economy, and a lot of really outstanding employees are available to me that might not have been available to me a few years ago. I simply couldn't have afforded them. But with the current situation, yep, I've been able to hire some really top-notch people, and they work so hard.
It's an entrepreneur's dream, right? Yep. And talk to me about, you know, sometimes you make ethical decisions. And I like to say that part of my theory of leadership is that there's a private ethic there. And so you're not just ethical when you can win an award or when you can, you know, talk to a client publicly about something. But behind closed doors, you're making good decisions that had people know what they were, they're actually still ethical, you know, or at least, you know, within your frame. A lot of that's a value proposition. You don't always know mm-hmm. exactly what, but you're trying, you're attempting ethics. Talk to me about, A, do you agree with that? Have you had situations like that where behind closed doors you had to make the ethical decision?
Sure. And I will say that I developed this company with a view to selling it one day, and I wanted my company to be pristine from day one. I want anybody who's interested in my company can come in and go through all of my files and not find anything missing, not find anything unusual. Everything I do is documented, and it's clean, and it's the way it should be. I've not taken any shortcuts, and that was deliberate. I really want, one of my goals in starting the company was to prove that you actually could run a profitable company that was ethical, that was moral, that treated people with courtesy and respect, that was well respected in the community. I wanted all those things to be part of the company.
Excellent. And have you ever made an ethical decision that's hurt your revenues?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can say, you know, there were a few situations where it was the right thing to do, and over the long term, the minor revenue blip didn't mean anything to me.
You are a Forbes Boost Your Business 2009 Top 20 semifinalist, and we're speaking with Encore Path, and we're speaking with Chris Appel here with us from Encore Path. She's the founder and president of this business she started in 2006, now up to 17 employees. I've got a Forbes business quote for you. This is from Franklin D. Roosevelt. The only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today. The only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today. Thoughts?
I don't think you can be an entrepreneur and have doubts. It would stop you. It would stymie you. I do not have doubts. I've always been excessively optimistic. You always have to believe that you can be successful. Any time I spend doubting is a waste of time. So I don't allow myself to do it.
Now, you have expanded over time. This device that you now have for stroke victims is in every continent except for Antarctica.
Right.
So talk to me about kind of how did it become, you know, you have international clients.
Well, I didn't anticipate that. I'm certainly not doing any marketing internationally, but there are stroke and brain injury survivors all over the world. And they have found me and they have come to me. So I didn't expect to be global quite this quickly, but I've been really blessed with support from the Commerce Department. They have a program to help small businesses do more exporting, and they've been really supportive and really helpful. And they helped me through the processes of getting my device exported. So I'm selling well internationally. I have distributors, almost a dozen distributors that I'm working with now, and it's doing very, very well. I'm very pleased. I'm getting great feedback from stroke survivors all over the world, and it feels good.
So that's kind of a, you know, entrepreneurs always talk about this luck piece, right? So you put the hard work in, but then something crazy happens, and you know, a law changes, a law passes all of a sudden. I mean, like for example, the healthcare legislation, mm-hmm. you know, that just passed, I'm sure is putting some people out of business and putting some people in business, or at least significantly right. affecting. And so it's interesting because, you know, all of a sudden you had this opportunity, the luck with international awareness, and you have to run with it.
I did. And I had another piece of luck, just a healthcare related TV piece that got picked up and ran all over the country. And it increased my sales probably 5 times in the past 2 months. So these things, yeah, I'm very fortunate.
You never know.
That's right.
And your background is you served 17 years at the National Security Agency, served as Internal Communications Director for the Director of NSA, as well as Director of Operations Policy. So it's interesting because, you know, as someone who, you know, communications, right? So you're in the job of communications. You have a product now and you're using that skill, right? So you're using, how do I communicate? How do I let stroke victims know that this product can help them?
Well, that's a really good point. One of the things that I think has made me successful is my ability and my obsessive need to communicate. And it wasn't just me.
Hence why you answer the phones.
Right. Yeah. But it wasn't just me. You know, I needed engineers and researchers and clinicians and stroke survivors and salespeople to put it all together. And I found those people by networking and talking to people and meeting people and communicating. And I keep those people around me by continuing to communicate. Here's what's going on in the company. Here's the feedback we're getting. So I really believe strongly in communication. It's been probably my most valuable skill.
Excellent. Excellent. And you have a master's degree in romance linguistics from the University of Michigan. So, man, is that a far stretch from what you're doing
well,
now?
Well, you know, in some ways, there's a lot of, when you learn languages and the history of languages, it's about communication. So I think in that way,
it actually
has been, yep, a really good foundation.
And I'm a big fan of learning anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, hence why I got a million mm-hmm. degrees. But I, you know, it's, you know, anything you learn is going to, should help expand your knowledge if you allow it to, right?
That's right.
So let's talk about your kind of 5-year plan. I know this will change. You'll have a potential 5-year plan, but what are you trying to accomplish for Encore Path?
Well, I really want to reach as many stroke and brain injury survivors as we can with our device. We're developing some additional accessories for the device to help people in other areas of upper extremity rehabilitation. We have the leg device in development. I've been approached by a few universities with other stroke devices under development, so I'd like to consider a few of those. I can see putting together a portfolio of high-quality, evidence-based stroke and brain injury rehabilitation devices, and then, you know, bringing that as a package to a company that's a global company that's in a better position to capitalize on that technology.
How has the recession affected your business plan?
Well, it has. It has not changed my business plan. It has affected some people's ability to pay. So we've had to be really flexible with payment plans and payment options and credit and things like that. So we do try to work with people with whatever payment ability that they have. So from that perspective, it has affected my customers. Yes.
And so that was a decision you had to make too, right? Do we become more flexible or not? Which increases your time. Flexibility would increase your time.
That's true. But if it increases the sales and if it helps more people, that's the goal. I'm not in the goal to sell an elitist device that's only available to rich people. I want to reach as many people as we can.
And do you have a plan about how many devices sold by X year or no?
Well, we are on our way to a few hundred devices, and I definitely see that doubling by the end of the year.
Excellent, excellent. And you said your goal someday is to sell this company. Do you think you'll be a repeat entrepreneur?
I can see me doing this again. For me, the fun part is really the creative process. I have enjoyed creating something from nothing, and I think I would enjoy doing that again.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio, and congratulations for being a 2010 Leaders Portfolio Award winner.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled.
Where you have a place for your award?
I do.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. All right. It's Encore Path Leadership Business of the Year. And of course, we've been talking with the founder and president of Encore Path here with us on Leaders Portfolio. So congratulations to her. Exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio include Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. And of course, if you're a business or organization trying to communicate your product or service to the business leadership community to high net worth individuals, etc. We are a great fit, and we just really encourage you to consider sponsorship and as we take an approach to that.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.